In the midst of this global crisis, the voices for justice are revealing what really matters. It is time for Planetary Makeover. Here we feature solutions and modern miracles in documentary videos that offer hope for our future and remind us all of our spiritual source. Long ago, it was forecast that at this time in history, extraordinary teachers, including the World Teacher, would emerge to help us as we build a world that works for everyone. Now, here's your host of Planetary Makeover, Mr. David Minot.
Welcome to Planetary Makeover. We've got a great show and a different show today. I'm actually going to do my first interview. And it's our friend, Marcia Kimmel, who actually coached us. She's a theater master, and she helped make sure that we presented this information properly. So you'll excuse me if I'm a little bit nervous today in the presence of the master, so to speak. But of course, before that, we want to tell you what the purpose of the show is. As always, we ask that you don't believe us. You can let everything I say go in one ear and out the other, unless it has the ring of truth for you. And in this case, we're talking about the Aegis Wisdom teaching and the possibility of creating a new world, coming out of the malaise of the present world into the miracle of a new age where all of this chaos is left behind us. And to do that, we have assistance of an extraordinary kind. The World Teacher, who has been predicted for millennia, and his group, the Masters of Wisdom. Now, of course, you've all heard this before. This has been predicted by the Christians as the Christ, from the Jewish faith, the Messiah, from the, let me think, there's a whole slew of them. Also, the Islamic faith, which would be the Imam Mahdi, and probably next I'd mention the Hindu faith, where it's the Kalki avatar, and I'll probably save for last the Buddhists, who at least got the name right, Maitreya Buddha. But of course, the joke is on all of us, religious and non-religious alike, because this teacher is not a religious figure per se. He's a teacher, a spiritual teacher, and a world teacher in the broadest sense, for everyone, bar none. And he and the masters are not looking for followers. They don't want you to believe in them. This is not some cult. They're not here to found a new religion. And you can feel free to reject all the information presented, as mentioned earlier. So we're going to tie this in with some experiences that Marcia herself has had, which are quite profound. And I have to tell you that every time I listen to her or work with her or talk to her, I learn something new. And I think you will too. So one other thing I'd like to mention about the World Teacher is that Maitreya is inaugurating the Age of Aquarius, which is now, to paraphrase a song from the rock group The Birds back in the 60s. And we're coming out of the age of Pisces. So this is an age, as it has the moniker that all astrological signs do, of I know. Pisces was I believe. And since we're in the age of I know, people need proof. And our guest today, Marcia Kimmel, was interviewed by our producer, not only of this show, but of another, Francis Oman, 5 years ago, when we all worked together on Share on the Air radio. And then the show was termed the Thoughtful Skeptic. And that's what Marcia is, a deep skeptic. And deep as in has a lot of content and depth to her character, and skeptic as in she's no fool. This is one woman who can't be led up the garden path. And so she examines these truths carefully before she accepts them. And now we'd like to show a clip from Francis Oman's video, Crosses of Light, of Rabbi Ted Falcon, giving his take on the new age and the incoming energies. Francis has interviewed many people from different faiths about this subject, and here she's giving the angle from the Jewish faith.
There are two basic ways that the time for the coming of the Messiah is understood within some of the traditional circles in Jewish tradition. One is through trying to figure out numerologically on the basis of old texts when, in what year, in what era. And there are those who say, just as we talk about this being the Aquarian age, there are those who are discovering in the flow of the zodiac and the flow of various sections, segments of history, that this is the time when Messiah is supposed to awaken. There are others who look at various world events and say that it's through those world events that the indications of such a coming is to be announced. And those are the ones who look and see that the issues in Israel are harbingers of such a moment now, that the political, the social difficulties, the exacerbation of the violence even there and in the world as a whole speaks the conditions which in fact are required for that messianic being to arrive.
And this video, we think, can tie in with the message that we hear from Marcia. And so without further ado, I'd like to present our special guest, Marcia Kimmel, who is going to weigh in on her own unique Jewish experience. So Marcia, welcome to the show, and
thank you.
Tell us your story.
Well, I first became aware of the concept of the Messiah. Maybe I had heard it before, but it didn't mean anything to me. But I was in temple when I was 13 years old. I remember this very, very well. There was a well-known rabbi, Dr. Mann, and he was very loved and well thought of as a philosopher. And he said to the congregation that day, he said, perhaps we believe that the Messiah is going to come. But, you know, in fact, the Messiah has already come. We've had Jesus. We've had Buddha. We've had Muhammad. We've had countless, usually men, not only, but who have come and said, I'm here to save you. And I'm the Messiah. So we've done it already. And, well, frankly, we still have a long way to go. So maybe we could take the concept of Messiah into a little bit of a larger context. And maybe it's not that one man is going to come and embody being God. And then we can all say, oh, Jesus, he's just buried. That's the way God should be. That's the way I should be, but I'm not. But anyhow, at least someone is God. Well, Rabbi Mann said, well, maybe we're entering a time, the messianic age, he said. And it's a time when all people, not just one person, but you and me and every person, everyone, gets it, that they're God. that spark of divinity and ability to be conscious and aware and awake to what is really going on, each one of us is capable of that. So maybe we're heading into the messianic age when everyone gets that they're the Messiah. There's no God coming to save us. Although I do like the idea of a teacher. We could use a teacher. We could really use some teaching. Because we have a long way to go. We've got a lot to learn.
Yes.
So.
And Benjamin,
I was 13 at that time, and I think that was my bat mitzvah.
And that was very precocious of you. I had no such revelations at age 13.
Well, I'm still Jewish. I mean, it was a Jewish concept. And taught to me by my rabbi, and I still adhere to it. Still feels right to me.
My brother and I once had a discussion where he said, Why couldn't we have been born Jewish? Because we were born Catholic. We didn't consider it very interesting. and a little too judgmental.
So intense. That's a very, very strong religion. People are I remember pretending to be Catholic. I lived right next door to a big cathedral, and St. Thomas of the Apostle in Chicago, and it was a beautiful church. Oh my God, it was gorgeous. So every now and then we'd sneak in and we'd do the holy water and all this. Loved it. I just loved it. It was so beautiful.
Perhaps you were Catholic in a previous lifetime.
Maybe. I've often thought I should be a nun.
And you probably were that before too.
Who knows? It feels like it would fit.
And you moved on to Judaism.
Well, I was born into Judaism. And really, Judaism is about there being a unity. You know, the word God doesn't even, we can't even say it because it's too all-encompassing. I mean, how can you say have a word that stands for something when what we're talking about is everything, all-encompassing?
I think that's what appealed to my brother and I, that it was a little more hands-off, that you weren't being forced to accept and believe certain precepts. Mm-hmm. And today, in my adult life, I get mistaken for being Jewish every other day. It must be I'm from New York State. They don't hear the state part. They only hear is New York. My hair is curly. My name's David, you know. End of story.
You could pass.
So perhaps my immediate past lifetime. Okay. But getting back to yourself, I was wondering if it was okay if I told the audience a little bit more about your background and abilities, sort of your curriculum vitae. And I'm getting this from the show, which we're also going to talk about, where it describes in detail that Marcia is an associate director and a creative and productive consultant. So she's an actor herself and a director and an acting coach, a writer, a producer, and
dramaturg.
Thank you. With over 40 years of experience in theater and film and video. And she performs and is a master teacher of improvisational theater games. And having studied at Second City in Chicago and in LA with the creator Viola Spolin, who's considered the mother of improvisational theater movement in the United States. And Marcia's most successful original piece, Leftovers, The Ups and Downs of a Compulsive Eater, was produced off-Broadway, and she's taught at the American Conservatory Theater in San Francisco, the Cogswell Polytechnical College's Digital Motion Picture Department, and other Bay Area film schools. And lastly, we could say that she was, what else have I missed? Adjunct faculty teaching improvisational theater games for drama therapists at Antioch University's Drama Therapy Master's Program.
So I use theater as an applied art form. It's an educational art form. And it's also, I discovered in being in it since I was 10, that because it gives me a safe space to transform. I mean, I've played everything from Primordial Ooze to Lady Macbeth, and that's quite a range. But I mean, we're plastique, we're transformable. And theater gives you permission to try on other roles. So the role that you might have been given as a child, like suffer, you're supposed to suffer. I got really good at that one. Now I could suffer at the drop of a hat. I could easily find ways and reasons. But I also knew from doing theater that I was capable of changing that channel and being someone in a whole other mental state. But that was a choice that I was making. I was writing that script, so I could throw out the one that I got stuck with and play with that. What happens to me in my life is really my own, I feel it's a co-creation between me and my source, my divine source.
And from the age of 10, do you suppose you were an actor in a previous incarnation as well, or several?
I don't know about that. I really don't know about incarnation, reincarnation. It seems to me that our energy doesn't die. So, but the I don't think that's what's going to be continuing, my energy. Mm-hmm. And the actor, you know, that archetype, someone's going to be an actor. Mm-hmm. besides me. I mean, that need to do that will live on.
Yes, indeed. I concur. Well, and speaking of your work, can you tell us more about your latest piece, Stardom, the musical, actually Shine Your
Light? I would love to. I am working with a very dear friend of mine, Dino DeFilippi, who conceived of this play, a musical, 40 some odd years ago, and he just got the idea. It just came to him in one of those flashes that he should write a play, not just a play, but a musical about the evolution of human consciousness. And he should use the archetypes of all of the planets, and they would play roles. So, you know, Venus and Mars, those are archetypes. And, well, when I met him, I had been doing improvisational fairy tales. So I've been studying Jung, and I was talking that language improvisationally. And so I thought, that's a great idea. My God, doing a new myth for humanity. People need to hear a new story that will inspire them to be who, and this is the question that Stardom brings up. Why are we here? What is it that would make us our very best self, our star? Because that's what we want. That's what we want. We want to be the very, 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 very best, as good as our father, the sun, and our mother, the earth. And so the play is really about that journey that man and woman and their archetypes, they go all the way from the garden, all the way through history to the present time, when in this present time, the woman who has always followed her man, I mean, she was right there for him, behind him, you know, the power behind the throne, she would be there. But by the modern time, she's going, you know what? I don't know if he's doing the right thing. He seems to be focused on getting more and more power and money and fame and being a star that way. But that's not, I think, what's really important. And I think maybe he's wrong and I'm right. Oh my God, that can't be, because the man has got to be right. The man has got to be right. But maybe I'm right. Maybe I'm right. So the play really takes us through this journey. And really, for women, I think it will speak to the women who are going through that kind of change of saying, you know what? I think I've got what it takes to lead. I think my ideas, maybe they're just as good as the man. Maybe they're better, you know? Mm-hmm. So women are needed right now to come up and step forward and take leadership roles, because the qualities that women have, very often have, are needed right now to nurture and to take care of the earth and to take care of each other and to see how we're all interconnected.
Yes.
I think this has something to do with the work that you and my dear friend Francis are doing with Maitreya.
Indeed. You know what you made me think of just now? I hadn't thought of this earlier, Marsha. Like I said, you always make me think. Is that Calypso song, Man Smart, Woman Smarter?
I like that.
And in this age, I know that they have discussed it in the Age of Wisdom teaching. This is, again, the time when the feminine aspect of the divine will find full expression. And as you say, we need those qualities of women today. Was it Mao who said women are the other half of the sky? Well, the sky needs to turn so that half is in the ascendancy, because men have sort of screwed up the world, and we need women's skills to save.
Well, I think that men alone will screw up the world. That unless there's a balance and a partnership between men and women working together, because we need both of our archetypal strengths. I mean, I wouldn't want to do this without the men. I really, really wouldn't. I love men. I love what they bring to the party, to the job. I just don't want to be overpowered.
Yes.
Yeah, that's where
we need a balance.
We need a balance.
And in the show, there were so many stunning parallels between what you have said and what your friend, the writer, wrote.
Dino DiFilippi.
Yes, yes. And what we see in the Ageist Wisdom teaching. And I know we talked about this. I was thinking of how you talked about acting as a spiritual exercise. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Well, when you're doing any art form, basically, you can't do it unless you get rid of that ego. That ego is, you know, trying to look good and like, what are other people thinking of me while I'm doing? I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot of egocentrism in this culture, and certainly Hollywood. I mean, one of the things that's turned me off about commercial theater is how much it's about the star, and big deal. I mean, really, when someone has a gift, they've got a gift, and that's not something that they even did anything. They got it. They perfect it. They work at taking it to it's the best that they can do with it. And that is something that is an accomplishment, because it's hard work. But they make it look, any artist makes their work look easy. Ultimately, my experience, when I'm really, really on, when I'm doing a play or an improvisation and something just clicks and I'm going, I don't know where it's coming from.
Mm.
I cannot tell you that's me. I would never dream of doing some of the things that I do improvisationally. They just come to me. They just go, they pop in. That's what people say. It just kind of pops in. My teacher, Viola Spolin, she would say to us when I was a kid, she'd say, all right, where did that idea come from? It was not there just a second ago. And then, poof, it's there. But where did it come from?
Where indeed? And in the Ageist Wisdom teaching, we would say that was your personality stepping aside and the real Marcia came through, the soul, the heart and soul of Marcia. I've seen that in some of my paintings.
I can go for that. That sounds right.
And you think, who did that? Or you wrote something, Marcia, like, and you think, that kind of wrote itself. That was your soul kicking in.
Yeah. And yeah, it's definitely something bigger than she who brushes her teeth. Or, you know, I don't, because that's something I can do without thinking about it. But when you're creating, something's coming through you in that present moment. And you've done what it takes to make yourself kind of empty.
Yes.
You know, like a hollow reed, like something so that there's not judgments and worries and considerations about how others are thinking about it and the judge, blah, 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 all that. Blah, blah, blah. It's just, you're there.
You're a vehicle.
And you're a vehicle. You're present and capable of letting something just come through you. And it's not effort, but it helps to practice. It helps to have coaching. You know, because most of us are raised by parents who have created doubt, mm-hmm. who have made us feel like, it's probably not good happening. You know, I'm making fun of it now, but, you know, I spent 6 years in a home for emotionally disturbed children, so I'm not just kidding around. I got trained to think there was something wrong with me.
You've been through hell.
Back and back.
And come back. Well, another parallel I wanted to draw between that and the ageist wisdom teaching was the idea that Maitreya has mentioned many times that commercialism, which we sum up in two words, market forces, are the scourge of the planet. He's called them satanic. They just squeeze the life out of humanity. Everything gets commodified. And what you're talking about stands in juxtaposition to that. And you're talking about the sort of the pure heart and soul of acting versus the commerciality of it. So that was an interesting parallel between the two.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because really that's the history of theater, which comes from storytelling. And as long as people were sitting around a fire and telling stories, there's been acting. But people started to realize that the messages, the lessons that they wanted to impart to the next generation, to the children who were listening to the stories, that they could pass on lessons of how to be and how to live and as a human being. What do we want? What are the values we want to pass on? And so it's kind of like folk art. It's like we want our best selves to come forward, and we want our children to know that they can live up to being their best selves.
And another parallel.
I also want to be sure that we have time to play one of the songs from Stardom.
Oh yes. Why don't you introduce it now?
So in the musical Stardom, I love the music because it really does carry the message of the story, of the moral of the story. There's a moral to the story. And I don't know if I can remember all the words, but I'll say some of them for you. One is from Ava singing to the people of planet Earth, and this is in the third act, and she knows that the Earth is not well. Her mother is sick, and she needs help and nurturing, and her man just wants to go to the stars, and it's all he can think of, and he's not paying any attention to anybody. And he just, anyhow, so she sings to the people. She says, "People of planet Earth, wherever you are, I am with you, listening to your silent pleas. You know I'm as concerned as you are of the future of the human family. It took me a lifetime to find my voice. There was a cost, there was a cost, but I found mine, and now I..." "What has been lost? What has been lost? People of planet Earth," and it goes back in. We should play it.
"People of planet Earth, wherever you are, I am with you, listening to your silent pleas. I know you are as concerned as I am for the future of the human family. It took me a lifetime to find my voice. There was a cost, there was a cost. Now I urge you to find yours and reclaim what has been lost, what has been lost. People of planet Earth, together our voices will be heard. Nothing can stop
another song in Stardom, the musical, that I just love is at the end of the play, she sings, well, man and woman, they sing, create a world we can all share, a world where there's no fear, a world with a caring point of view, where you care for me and me for you. No more want, no more fear, freedom of the spirit, love everywhere. To tear us apart, freedom of the spirit and the heart. Anyhow, need to play it so that you can hear it. Really sung with some background and really good voice.
Very good. I love it.
All right.
I see now that true power comes from inside.
Now, why don't you take that power, and then together you can
create a world we can all share, a world that's beyond fear, a world with a daring point of view, where you
Hair's got nothing on Stardom.
Well, you know, we think, now this is important, we think that Stardom is the Hair of our time.
Ah, you know, I was just thinking that you're doing it again, Marcia. It's that telepathy of yours. I was just thinking that several seconds ago. And yes, it is. It's well, a higher turn of the wheel.
Exactly. That at a certain point in history, a popular theater piece needs to come along to carry the message of what's the big change in our society that we're all going through. Major, major shifts. There's no way we can not do that at this time in history, at this juncture. I mean, even if we were going to make some changes anyhow, the pandemic has made that happen. And we need teachers at this time too, I would say. I would say.
And you yourself are a teacher in that regard.
Well, I try. I do my best.
Here you go. At the end of this year, it'll be 54 years, I think, since Hair debuted. And now hopefully your show will be the theme song for the next 50 years or more.
Well, that's what we hope. We hope that, you know, like, let the sunshine in. That's how we feel about Stardom, that it's about letting your light shine and decide what script you want to be playing, because you're creating it with the help of your higher power.
It makes sense. That makes sense. And according to the Aegis Wisdom teaching, we live in an electric universe. And they say that God is light, not light in the sense that we think of it, but at another level.
I want to shine my light like a star.
A second thing that struck me about your show, Marcia, and that was the divine inspiration, because Felipe was inspired.
You know, Felipe?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Make sure I get the name right in the edit. Was inspired by the evolution of man's consciousness.
Yes, and it just came to him. He was like resting. He'd been doing a lot of work on a house he was building. Uh-huh. And he was living in Marin, and he was just resting, and the thought popped into his head. Now, where did it come from? Now, he'd worked with Buckminster Fuller, and he'd had a also a philosopher as a professor. I can't remember his name. But he had been inspired by these people. We need teachers. We really need teachers. I've said that several times now. And I know that that's what you all are doing with your work. You're bringing forward the work of a great teacher, wise teacher.
And that's what we're doing together. Since there's many parallels between this work and yours, it appears as though it's all one. Because when you and I were discussing this earlier, Bucky Fuller popped into my head. When I looked at that dome, I thought, geodesic dome. And you confirmed that. And
Let's explain. The Stardom, what we're planning on is to stage the play in a dome with planetarium-like special effects lighting, and it's going to be wild. It's going to be wild. Yeah. It's going to be gorgeous.
That'd be fantastic. Yeah. And that also came to me while I was looking at your dome. I thought, planetarium.
Yeah.
And of course, I should disclose to the audience, it is that time of year when your chart and my chart astrologically cross paths. So we are more on the same wavelength than even ordinarily we would be. And so it makes sense that you could convey those ideas so easily.
Oh, well, I'm so glad.
And a third thing that came up when you talked about the show was its whole question of, why are we here? And the Ageless Wisdom teaching asks the same thing. Where did we come from? Why are we here? Where are we going?
Well, that's the message of the play, is that man and woman are given a heroic journey at the beginning of the play, that they're told that they could achieve stardom, but they're going to have to pass tests throughout history, and ultimately, they need to learn who they are and why they are here. Why were they put here? Why was that life out of all the planets that we know of? We don't know of any other planet that's had this experiment, that the sun and the earth were just at the right distance from each other. And it was a fertile opportunity that didn't happen all over the place that we know of. We know it happened here. And so here we are. It's rather, I would say, incredibly special, incredibly divine.
Yes.
Source. And so, what are we supposed to do with this divine life that we've been given? Wow.
Indeed. Because how can we live properly if we don't know why we're here? How can we enjoy our lives? How can we move forward? And I know in the Ageless Wisdom teaching, they've also posited that there are four levels of matter above gaseous, known as etheric. You know, when somebody sees your aura, Marcia, that would be evidence of the lowest of those four.
Okay.
So we're claiming that the UFOs that we see are from the planets in our system. And on those planets, which of course you can't live in the dense physical, people are living there on the etheric planes of matter, which is very different, of course, from the Earth. Because you're right, there's only one planet like this in the system. And I understand it's considered, it may be considered the most beautiful planet in the system. And
well, maybe it's not better. Maybe it's just different.
That too, yes. Yeah. And that's part of the message of your teaching when you're doing the improv that you talked about, where you don't tell the actors that they're wrong. You say, yes,
and yes. And that's, I don't know how I got to be so lucky to be exposed to improvisation when I was a teenager, and I was a very judgmental teenager, very depressed and confused. I didn't know which end was up. So there I was, plopped into the middle of Viola Spolin's world, and she wasn't well known. Her book had not come out yet. We were the guinea pigs she was using to finish the last draft of her book, Improvisation for the Theater, which is known as the Bible of the improvisational theater movement. So her son, Paul Sills, was the founding director of the Second City. And that's, you know, really between the two of them, that's how improvisation got popularized. So Chicago's a big foundation for that. I'm a Chicago girl. I came to San Francisco when I was in my early 20s to study at ACT. And I've been a teacher there.
And I knew you studied there, but I didn't fully realize that you were a Chicago girl.
I am. I grew up my first 23 years in Chicago.
And then you fled the city for the West Coast.
I did.
There was one last thing I will mention, and I imagine that we're well out of time at this point, was the whole idea of evolution in the show, which struck me too, because the Ageist Wisdom teaching is all about evolution. And I know we've already touched upon this in part, but I just wanted to emphasize that was another striking similarity.
Well, I love the fact that the teachings of the masters is really about evolution, because that's what we're all working on. I mean, I can't see of anything else that is more important than trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do with this life and do it. Shine your light, you know, create. That's another song from the show, Create, a world we can all share. And whatever makes you happy, whatever brings joy to you that will also bring joy to others. Mm-hmm. Mudita, which is a Buddhist term that I just learned, of deriving joy from the joy that you bring to others.
I didn't know that.
See others having joy because of something that you did. That's mudita.
Well, it sounds to me, Marcia, like as if you have your eyes on the prize, and the prize is humanity, to steal a line from Maitreya.
Well, I'm very grateful. Francis Oman is my friend, and to be on the show today. Thank you.
And if it weren't for Francis, that's right. We wouldn't have the pleasure of your company here on the show.
She's the connector.
And I do have to mention some other things before we leave, just quickly, about the Ageist Wisdom teaching and the show and our goals, is transmission meditation. And your show itself is a meditation on all these principles we've discussed. In transmission meditation, people act as a I'm trying to think of the word, as a transformer. Because we know when the power comes into your house, it gets stepped down by the transformer, or else it'd blow out all the fuses. The masters of wisdom are, as we say, the custodians of these great energies that stream into the planet. And we act as transformers and step those energies down so they won't bounce off the mass of humanity. I don't know about you, but I know they bounce off of me. So when we step them down, it sort of adds to the pool of spiritual energy that all of creation drinks from, to put it in poetic terms. Healings have occurred during transmission meditation, and they say 10 years of it is equivalent to, or 1 year rather, is equivalent to 10 years of ordinary meditation. And what else could we say? Some of the things that people can access materials so that they can learn more about Share International and Maitreya, the World Teacher. And before we go, we should also mention your show again, Marcia. And a place they can go is share-ecart.com. Some of the things you find there are The Overcoming of Fear, talk by Benjamin Krem, The Emergence of the World Teacher, another one of his talks, Transmission Meditation that we just discussed, Messages from Maitreya the Christ speaking through Ben, and much, much more. Also, Share International Magazine, not to be overlooked. I remember in the interview with you, Marcia, with Francis, 5 years ago, she made reference to the fact that when you showed up for the taping, you had a copy of Share International Magazine on your seat. The seat of your car. And
I love that magazine. And I remember meeting Benjamin Krem a few times. When he would come to San Francisco to give his talks, I met him a couple of times. And what a wonderful, wonderful man. And what a wonderful artist. I have some of his artwork in my house too. It really is
wonderful.
Beautiful.
And how great for him to have met you. Well, I know we're out of time because I've talked too long per usual, but I want to thank everyone for tuning in. And most of all, I want to thank Marcia for gracing us with her presence. And I think this may call for a part two. That's not up to me. That's up to the group. But Marcia has so much to offer that we should probably have her back again. And Marcia, do you have any parting words for us?
Just go out and create a world we can all share.
That sounds wonderful. We certainly concur with that. Well, thank you, Francis Ullman, for bringing Marcia on the show. Thank you, Marcia. And we hope to hear more about and get to see, if possible, the show Shine Your Light.
Stardom. It's called Stardom. And if you want to look at the website, go to StardomTheMusical.com.
StardomTheMusical.com. Let's all go there after the show, which is ending now. And thank you so much for joining us. Visit us on Facebook at #PlanetaryMakeover. This show has been a production of PlanetaryMakeover.org. At our website, we have a link to our bi-weekly live show at 5 p.m. Mondays, Western Time, and 8 p.m. Eastern Time. At our website, we also have a link to our archives and a selection of our shows. For more background info, visit www.shareinternational-west.org. That's shareinternational-west.org. For related books and DVDs and CDs by Benjamin Krem on the emergence of Maitreya, the world teacher, please go to share-ecart.com. That's share-ecart.com.